we just stand for a few minutes? Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's try to sing that one more time. Because it's a very strong affirmation. Awesome God. It's a strong affirmation. Sing it from the depth of your soul. Affirm it for yourself. Know that you are more than conqueror through him who loved you and gave his life for you. Know that you know that you know that you know that you're victorious. That your victory has already been won. Know the battle is over. Know 2,000 years ago, the devil was defeated. You were set on high. Know that you know. Come on, give Jesus a clap offering in the house.
Yes, Lord.
Let's sing that one more time. Come on, let's sing it a little bit more lively. praise you, Father. Listen, guys, listen. You operate from an assumption of victory. You don't operate from an assumption of warfare. Because if you operate from an assumption of warfare, you're already defeated. Yeah? Me?
Amen.
Oh, come on now. See,
amen.
If you operate from an assumption of warfare, you're in trouble. But if you operate from an assumption of victory, you walk in rest. Huh?
Amen.
Come on, guys.
That's good.
The problem with the modern day church is that the modern day church operates from a position of defeat. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Come on, let's give them. Praise the Lord. Wow. For 1 minute there, I almost felt like I was in Africa. Put it up there, and then, yes, and then get the board and put it across so we can, he can do it himself. Well, before we do anything this morning, I want you to talk to each other, give each other a hug, get up and give each other a hug. Tell each other how wonderful you are. Come on, let's do that for a few minutes. Yeah. Tell your brother how wonderful they are. Tell me, it is good to see you. Hey, my brother, how are you?
Daddy, good to see you.
Son, how are you?
Lalo.
Yeah. You're wonderful, man. You're wonderful. Praise the Lord. Oh, bless you, my brother.
Bless you.
The Lord bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Yes. Right here, right here, no, right here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I just came back from Australia. What a great, had a wonderful conference out there. You know, churches that are bigger than this church don't do half of the stuff that we do. We're all over the world preaching the gospel. Benedicta and I will be going back to Australia at the end of September to do another conference. We had 10 churches together doing a conference this last time. And we hope to have more than that. Because God's speaking about Australia and talking about the move of God in that area. Just like God is speaking about Venice and talking about the move of God in Venice. God is about to do some incredible things in Venice. Amen. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. The Lord is moving tremendously. We are practicing some things here that may seem weird to some people. As the word goes forth and as the worship goes forth, you are free to give an offering to tap into what is happening. So that's why the offering plate is here. You know, we're going to take an offering, but you don't have to do it formally. Amen. Whenever you are moved by God, just do what God leads you. Amen?
Amen.
We call it trading. All right?
Yeah.
So, but God is a good God. And by the way, you know, I just think it's so awesome to be here, to be back home. And to, it's like I come home and then Brian runs away, I know Brian is in a wedding today. God is good. We appreciate all of you for coming to lead the worship, Brother John and Angel, my son-in-law and my daughter and my most cute grandbaby. It's good to see all of you. Zizi. The Lord is good. Let's pray. Adonai Melech, Elohim Naaman, you, O Lord, art King and God in truth. There is none like you. There is none beside you. None can compare with you, who formed the universe by the word of your mouth, who called forth the stars from your very being, who commanded the light to shine in darkness. And who has commanded the light to shine in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ. You, God, you are indeed high above all the earth. You are exalted above all gods. The heavens of the heavens of the heavens of the heavens cannot contain you. But you've chosen to dwell in us. What a wonder. What a marvel. What a miracle. You became one of us in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. You dwelt fully in him. And all that you have, you've given to him. And all that you gave him, he has given to us. How grateful we are that we should be called the sons of God. What love this is. What grace this is. What wonder. Lord, my soul cries out in the old hymn, what wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul. Father, we, your people, want to declare that we love you. We want to let you know, though you already know, that you are the only one, the object of our worship, the subject of our relationship. Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, Alpha and Omega, Light of Light. What can we say? You who gave your life for us, redeeming us, sanctifying us, glorifying us, uplifting us, exalting us with your ascension. We love you with all our heart, Father. We love you with everything, our soul, our mind, our body, our strength. We love you. Have your way in our midst. Let the entrance of your word bring light. As it is written, you sent your word and it healed your people. Send your word and bring healing to the hearts of your people, to the souls of your people, to the bodies of your people. Lord, today, touch your people. Open the gates of heaven and let the flow from there, rivers of water, into us and out from us. River interacting with river. Power interacting with power. Spirit intermingled with spirit. O Spirit of wisdom, mix your wine this morning and glorify Christ. I love you, Lord. And I thank you. Jesus, my Lord. This presence comes from you. Touch your people. My God, thank you for what you're doing here. Oh God, my Lord Jesus Christ, only you. And when all is said and done, to you, O Lord, belongs all the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. Yeshua, Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus. What love God has for us. I've been teaching a series on operating from your position in Christ. Operating from your position in Christ. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Paul, in writing, says something that has led me to this series. He says, Colossians chapter 3, I believe. Verse 1, it says, if ye then be risen, that's too high, David. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and on things, and not on things on earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Let's stop there. We started, first of all, by saying that when Jesus Christ came into the world, okay, I'm going to summarize. He was God in human flesh. All right? And the Bible says that when God came as a human being. And I told you that the scripture never says God became a male. M-A-L-E. The scripture always says God became a man in the sense of anthropos, not man in a gender term, but in the sense of the word anthropos, or if you want to use the Hebrew, Adam. You still with me? God became Adam. That means God became human. Because the scripture does tell us that Jesus Christ is the second Adam. So, what was the first Adam? The first Adam was the being that God created that in his genetic makeup contained every human being that will ever live. But he did not just contain every human being that will ever live. He contained the record of the universe. Because according to the scripture, he was made from the dust of the earth. Now, if you read it, you will think that the word dust actually refers to the ground. It's true. It may. But the idea of dust is more than just a ground. Just than just the ground, the earth. Because everything in the universe is dust. Everything is dust. The stars are dust. The sun is dust. The moon is dust. The planets are dust. The earth is dust. Gold is dust. Your clothes is dust. So when the Bible says that God created man from the dust of the earth, it's not just referring to the ground, it's referring to the elemental principles of the universe. That's too high. To the elemental principles of the universe. That means that when the human being was created, he was created from the very substance out of which the universe was created. Because a human being cannot be the image of God if his makeup is from something that is perishable, really. Remember, death is the result of sin, not the result of creation. You get the point? So, when Adam was created, Adam was made up of the elemental principles of the universe, okay? Which is why he could contain the very nature of God. All right? But we're not talking about Adam today, about the first Adam. We're talking about the second Adam. So the second Adam, then, is what? Was made, according to the scripture, says the second Adam was from heaven. All right? The first man was of earth, earthly, says the book of 1 Corinthians. And the second man was what? Of heaven. All right? So, let's look at this. So, Christ became a human being, which means that whatever Adam was before his fall was what Jesus Christ became. All right? But in addition to whatever Adam was before the fall, when Jesus became a human being, he became all that and then plus sin. Try it again. The Bible says Jesus never committed a sin. But what we keep missing is that Jesus did become sin. So you tell me, which one is worse, committing a sin or being sin? Because one is ontological, the other is functional. So if you want to understand what God actually did for you in Christ, then you need to really read that passage again. He who knew no sin became sin. Can you imagine not knowing sin, but having this sin principle in your very body? So Christ became Adam plus more, plus sin.
And in being Adam, he took in himself every human being that ever existed, that will ever exist. So he became all of us in one body. Otherwise, there's no way he could pay for everybody's sin unless he took everybody's being into himself. So this is just, for those of you who are coming, you might go to the podcast and get the rest of it. So I'm not going to repeat everything I've said before. But Christ became a human being in the fullest sense of the word. He became every one of us. That means you were part of the genetic structure of who Jesus was. That when he became a human being, he became you, literally. And he became you so that when he walked the streets of Galilee, you walked with him. When he did miracles, you did miracles with him. When he was arrested, you were arrested. Remember, he became sin. When he was being whipped, you were being whipped. When he was judged and condemned, you were judged and condemned. When he died, you died. Are you with me? When he was buried, you were buried. And according to the law, ancient and modern, you can't try somebody twice for one crime. Oh, come on, guys. So if I was in Christ and I was tried in him and I was beaten in him and I was condemned in him, then guess what? So I was there when he was being crucified. I was being crucified because it was not his sin that he carried. It was my sin. He became the personification of my sin. This is so awesome. So when God turned his eyes away from him on the cross, God was saying, "Ew, Adonijah, your sin stinks." So it was my sin. It was my sin that God saw in Christ. I was in Christ. But it's something unique about this is that God was also in Christ, reconciling me to himself. Reconciling you to himself. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So everyone. Now here's the issue. I think this is where some people miss the point. Because when Christ died, every human being, whether they are Hindu, whether they are Buddhist, whether they are pagans hiding somewhere, they died in Christ. Their sins was paid for. Now, does that mean that they are all going to be saved? No, because there's a caveat. The caveat is that the will of man must say yes to that Christ who has become them. That's the issue. The issue is not that these guys, their sins have not been paid for. The issue is that God has made the will of man the key that either locks God out or opens the door for God to come in. It's the issue of the will. So yes, everybody can be saved. Come on. In fact, in the potential, in the ontological, every human being is already saved. Because it's been paid for. Oh, come on, somebody. The Bible says this, Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation for our sins, but not for our sins only, but for the sins of the world. Oh, how I wish the world knew that their sins have already been paid for, that their sufferings have already been taken care of, that they don't have to go around seeking for God, that God has already found them. They don't have to go around trying to pay God to accept them, that God has already accepted them. Somebody say amen. That's the good news. But the problem is the church has spent so much time telling the church, telling the world the bad news, when in fact there is good news somewhere. And the good news is your sins have been paid for. You've been set free. If you are in bondage, you are in bondage because you want to be in bondage, not because God wants you to be in bondage. If you are in pain, it's because you want to be in pain. If you are going to hell, you are going to hell on your own, not because God is sending you there. God has already paid for it. This is the good news. But the problem we have is not only that we tell the world this. I'm digressing, but I want to do this before I get to my stuff. The problem is not only that we tell the world that the world is lost when the world has been found. It's not like we tell the people of the world, hey, you're going to hell. Why? The problem is we also come to church and we tell people in church, are you ready for this? We tell people in church, you know, you got to do this, that, and that in order for God to accept you. Why? What is wrong with us? We spend so much time telling people God loves them unconditionally. Right? Then they come to church and we tell them what they must do to be accepted by God. Or you know, that just went over your head. You got it? It's so contradictory. You tell a sinner, God loves you unconditionally. Come to Christ because God loves you unconditionally. When they come to church, you say, okay, he loved you unconditionally before you became a Christian, but now here are the laws. That's what we do. Because we don't understand what God has already done for us. So we've been talking about operating from your position in Christ. Operating from your position in Christ, we talked about operating from the position of understanding light, operating from the second day. Now we're going to talk about operating from the position of seed. Let's talk about this for a second. We're using creation. I mean, go look at the sermon. I can't repeat them all. We look at creation as what? As the thing God, when Jesus came, he was restoring creation from the beginning to the end. Okay? So we're going to talk about seed. The third day of creation is the day when God created seed. The Hebrew word for seed is the word zarah. Okay? I want you to know something about zarah. Zarah is a term that refers both to a word that is spoken by someone, refers to the life of a man that he puts in the belly of a woman, okay, refers to a deed, an act that somebody acts, okay, refers to capital. You hear what I just said, right? Capital, like money, something you have that you can trade. So the scripture uses that. But there's something else about the word zarah. The word zarah numbers 100. Hey. Right? Sorry. The word Zerah numbers 277. Okay? 277 is a very important word, a number in the Hebrew scripture. 7 plus 7 is what? 14. Plus 2 is what? 6 plus 1 is what?
7.
So, guess what? Zerah only operates in the context of rest. Huh? So when in the third day, the Bible says God created seed bearing trees. Didn't say God created tree bearing seeds. Because, you know, the Bible, God did not create trees. Yeah, I would shock some people now because there's some religious folk going. God did not create trees. God only created seeds. Nowhere in the world does God create full-grown things except for man. Are you with me? Nowhere. God only gives seeds. He will help you grow the seed. He will water the seed for you, but he does not give you a full-grown stuff. Never does that. So what you must do in your life is to watch out for seeds. The problem is most of us are watching out for trees. And so we actually miss what God's trying to do. So we miss the little things that God's doing that should allow us to actually grow into what God wants us to be. So let's look at the seed again. I want to use a couple of examples. When God created Adam, God put all the seed in Adam. So in other words, Adam was actually the seed. Are you with me? So Adam was the seed. So the first principle is that man as a man or a human being, every human being, a woman, a man is a seed, period. Because they are God sowing into the world. All right? So a human being is a seed, but he's also a seed carrier. So in Adam, we find all the possibilities of every human being that ever existed. In Christ, we find all the possibility of every human being that ever existed and will ever exist. Okay? Now, in what we're talking right now, you must understand that when God speaks of seed, God is speaking both of you, speaking of you as an individual, right? Speaking of humanity as a whole, but speaking also of what? What did I say before? A word, right? That which you carry in within your genetic structure, which is your seed for the future, your children, children's children, everything. Then what else? I said four things. Oh, come on, see? Thank you, capital. What's the other one? Deeds. Action. You know, if you were, then you will see. So these things are very important. So a seed, whatever seed it is a combination of your past, your present, and your future. All right? What is the nature of seed according to the Bible itself, though? What does God say? When God speaks to, I want to show you something. When God speaks to Abraham, he says this. He said, your seed shall be as the dust. You with me? Stay with me. If your seed shall be as the dust, I'm using Abraham as an example now. What does that mean? I just told you that dust is the elemental particle of the universe. That's what it is. According to scripture, it is what God, everything in the universe is dust. So God created man out of the dust, saying man represents the whole universe. That is, man can go anywhere in the world and anywhere in the universe and survive. Okay, now guys, let's try this now. I know I have my son-in-law who's a physicist here, but I'm gonna talk scripture now. Right? But here's the thing. Everything in the universe, as I've said, is dust, right? And God created man out of the dust, representing everywhere. A few years ago, I said this. I said, I don't know, just crazy thoughts like from people like us. I said, within the next 50 years, human beings will start going to Mars. And somebody said, oh, they can't survive in Mars. I said, this is what, according to the scripture, this is what scripture teaches. That all creation is what? Groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. All creation, not the earth alone. All creation, everybody remember this now, all creation is groaning for, what is manifestation? What is manifestation? Appearance. Let's put it in a simple term, showing up. That's what it is. So watch this. When human beings show up in any place, because of the way God created the world, that place has to tune itself to the survival of humanity. The whole universe is created by God and tuned to the survival of humanity. Somebody's not. Because God did not create the world for himself, because God doesn't live in the universe. God created the world for you. So when you show up, all of nature does what? Turns towards you. Because they were created for you. Do you now, are you getting the value of who you are in the scheme of the universe? So when they started going, I said that, I had guys in my class who said, that's not going to happen. I said, watch it. If the scriptures are true, whenever human beings show up with anything that contains their DNA, the atmosphere changes to accommodate them. It doesn't say the earth is groaning. It says all creation. And if what I'm preaching is even remotely accurate, that we are created from the dust, which is the fundamental elemental particle of the universe, it means that our DNA record is in everything that exists in the universe, including the stars, the suns, and the moon. Because
I have a testimony.
Well, you're going to do it later on. God does these incredible things for us. So, what is a seed? A seed is a summary of the creative principle, the elemental principle. So God says, your sons or your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Same word that is used when Adam is created. So your seed, whether it is your act, whether it is your capital, whether it is your voice, because that, again, the word in the Latin, words are sometimes referred to as semens. Okay? Okay. Words, seed words. They're referred to as seed. All right? So whether it is your word, whatever you say contains within its very nucleus, whatever it is, the potential to affect the universe. I'll be quiet for a second. I could just tell you Jesus loves you, this I know, go home. If that's really what you want. Are you with me? But every seed that is including you as a person contains what? A record within it that can impact not just the earth, but impact the whole universe. Human beings have not even begun to understand what God made when he made us. We have no clue the vastness of who we are. I mean, if you don't have a clue, then think of it this way. God says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Is God located in one place? No. Does God only affect a particular thing? No, he affects things universally. Therefore, when he created human beings, he created in such a way that he put within them that the record and the things that will affect everything in the universe, from angels to animals, from suns to stones. I mean, these two physicists here can tell me better. We know that when a human being steps into somewhere, the atmosphere changes. Even when we are in fact told that when you observe certain things in the lab, they get affected. Excuse me? So the presence of a human being does change the stuff. When those things come out of the dark matter and start jumping out, when they see a human being, when the human stays, they stop. Do you know why? Because the human being has the potential to take whatever comes out of the dark and turn it to whatever he wants. Let's try it again. Unless the Bible is wrong and we are not creating the image of God. Remember, the Bible says that God called that light out of what? Darkness. We have the fundamental character of God in our DNA. We have a record. By the way, that's the reason for the battle. There's no reason for battle between God and the devil if there's no record of God's DNA in our lives. There's no reason for the battle. Why fight? Number two, when God is speaking to Abraham, God also says, as the stars, so shall your seed be. Are you ready? Can I tell you some things? Yeah. Oh, no, you're not ready. No, you're not. You're not. When God says to Abraham, your son shall be like the star, your children shall be like the star, we always think it's stars in number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But how many children did Jacob have? 13 children. There are 13 tribes in Israel. I know it's most Sunday school people think there were 12. But there are 13 tribes. Because the tribe of Levi did not inherit, but it was also a tribe. And Jacob adopted what? Ephraim, who was the second son of Joseph, to be his own son. He literally changed his DNA by putting his hand on him and praying over him and transferring him into his own family. And so Jacob had double portion, both Manasseh and Ephraim. So Ephraim was a tribe. Okay, so you have 13 tribes. Now, guys, don't tell the religious people I said this now. If there are 13 tribes, how many signs of the zodiacs are there? God was not talking about a number of millions and millions of children, though that came out too. But every tribe in Israel represents an astrological sign, something that the church don't want to talk about. I know some of you are looking at me like, how can you talk like that in church? Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Do you remember the dream of Joseph? What did Joseph say? He said, I had a dream, and the 11 sheaves of corn bowed down to me, right? Then he had a second dream, and he saw the 11 stars and the moon and the sun, 13, bow down to him. And the Bible says, oh, God. The Bible says to Abraham, in your seed shall every tribe and nations of the world be blessed. Not from your seed, in your seed. Let me show you something else in the scripture. Which I know this is going to cost me some people audience in the television land. But if you look carefully, you notice that the Bible also says that on the day the Lord God divided the inheritance of the nations of the world, he numbered them according to the numbers of the children of Israel. So every believer, every human being is born under the sign of Israel. It is within the context of the seed. So the seed now, which means a principle of destiny. The stars represent destiny, process, ascension, and descension. Right? At least that's what they teach us in that. So, in your seed, whether it be you, whether it be your word, okay, there's a possibility of what? Ascension, descension, destiny, procession. Because that's what the stars represent. Let me show you, just in case you're still struggling. Judah is Leo, because Judah is called a lion. Huh? When Jacob is speaking, he says this. He says, Levi and Simeon are twin in their anger. When talking about Asher, he says he's an archer. Oh. Go read Genesis chapter 49. You will see all the animals being put in places. Read Deuteronomy chapter 33. You will see all the animals. Every tribe of Israel had an animal representing them, which was like a totem, which represented them, and which also represented the zodiac sign. Every nation of the world comes under one of those signs. Sorry, guys. What does that mean? That then means that every one of us is connected to a DNA of a tribe of Israel in terms of our destiny. We don't have time to go into all of that, but you are connected to Israel by virtue of the seed. Your seed, as your seed, whether it be your voice, whether it be whatever else you call your seed, connects you directly to the blessings of Abraham, connects you to the stars. I'm ready. There's too much quietness in here. I might think maybe the angels are quiet too. But you get the point. Try this. Try this. There are people who have kingly attributes. There are people who have priestly attributes. There are people who have warrior attributes, like Naphtali, who wrestle things and bring them to the ground. There are people who have joyful attributes, like Asher. There are people who have this judicial attribute, like Dan. They're capable of making distinctions and putting things in their right order before you even know it, and they're capable of bringing justice to situation. Huh? There are people who have the capacity to produce and to preserve, like Joseph, and who can endure all kinds of trials and still produce. I'm going to stop now. We can come back next week. So when we talk about seed, okay, when we talk about seed, you need to understand that as a seed yourself, that you contain both the eternal past, the eternal present, and the eternal future. Okay? But as a seed, you have a particular connection to a particular destiny. All right? If God says your seed shall be as the stars of heaven, their seed is, as a seed is connected. Also, the principle of seed suggests that you need the right season to sow particular seeds. Doesn't it? The problem most a lot of us have is that we sow our seeds out of season. And when it doesn't grow, we get offended. So you have to find out what is the right season to sow your seed, because your seed is your destiny. You don't waste your destiny. And we like to keep sowing even though the ground is terrible. And even though it's the wrong season, because we just feel like something's got to happen. There are some of you sitting here who have been throwing your seed into the... Remember Jesus talked about how many kinds of ground? Four. A seed needs good ground, a seed needs the right season, and a seed needs the right weather. Doesn't it? So your seed... This is why the ancients spent so much time watching the stars, watching the heavens, to see, is it the right time to sow? Or is it the, you know, can I sow right now? And you have to determine, what kind of seed do I have? Do I have wheat? Do I have corn? Do I have, what kind of seed do I have? Because your seed that you have, the kind of seed, the seed you have may not be seed that should be sown in rainy season. So you're looking for it, the flood has carried it away. The seed you have may be one that should be sown in summer. We do. Look, do you realize that some of us thrive in difficulties while other people thrive when things are easy? The nature of the seed is affected by the season, or the season affects the seed's production, if you may. Number three, he also says, your seed shall be as the sand of the sea. I was looking at this and I'm going, what does this really mean? And then I realized, boom, that the Bible talks about the sea of glass. And then I realized also that that sand is what we use to make mirrors. Do a lot of stuff with sand. I now taught back my grandfather from my mother's side how they used to, I don't know how they got at the sand, but they used to blow it until it becomes like bottle, you know. I don't know how they did it. But I realize you can do a lot of stuff with sand. And I said, Lord, what do you mean as the sand of the sea? And he said to me, he said, every seed passes through the sea of glass to see if the seed reflects the nature of God. Because a reflexive principle, if a seed, look, the Bible says by their fruits you shall know them. Right? So if the seed is God's seed, then it will reflect what? God's nature. So a seed is a reflexive principle. That means the seed in bearing has to reflect back upon itself. So when God creates you, God creates you as a seed to be a reflection of divinity over the glass of heaven. So that when God looks in the mirror of heaven, he sees you, not himself. Because you have to reflect back to him. And just to cap it off, when God created the world, God created the world to be a reflection of himself. When the Bible says, and God saw that it was good, it was us, because the only thing in the universe that is good is God. So when God said it is good, it means God says it reflects me. I see myself in it. By the way, the war of the worlds is the war of seed. Because God says to the woman, I will put enmity between your seed and the seed of the serpent. So there are two kinds of seed in the universe. Sorry. And sometimes we get caught up in it ourselves. So each person has the monster DNA. And that's the monster DNA is what the seed of God, who is Christ, came to deal with. So the key, what God is doing in all this, to purify us as a seed so that our seed is a complete reflection of divinity. But guess what? There's always a war of seeds. As in nature, so in the soul, so in the spirit. Okay? When you plant a good seed, weeds will grow around it and there will be a vying for the land. Okay? So you need to figure out a way of protecting your seed. It's all about protecting the seed that is in you, the seed of God that is in you. It's not about anything else. It's about protecting the seed, because the serpent will like to poison the seed of God that is in you. That's what he's doing. This does not mean that human beings are seeds of the serpent, you know, like we see in movies, you know, it just means that the enemy is always fighting to change the DNA, to impact the DNA, to affect the DNA in such a way that it does not reflect God. So there's an enmity between the seed of God and the seed of the devil. Right? Now, every seed, most seeds, at least have three parts to it. The outer skin, the inner, and the core, right? Which then represents the triune aspect of God. So every seed is a reflection of divinity, unless it is poisoned by something from outside. So that's why you have a soul, spirit, and a body. Okay? Your body is the outward, your soul is the inward, your spirit is the inner. Okay? So you as a seed of God carries with you the potential to affect every situation you walk into. You carry God with you. You carry life in you. You carry power in you. You carry grace in you. And by the way, you don't have a seed does not have to struggle to grow. A seed doesn't have to struggle. If you put it in the right place, it will grow and it will bear fruit. And a seed carries within, I'm stopping this today, a seed carries within itself its capacity not only for growth, but its capacity for multiplication. It doesn't have to pray to multiply. It doesn't have to fast for 20 days to multiply. As I've been walking around the world, I have not seen a tree groaning to bear fruit. It does it naturally. So that means as the seed, you carry within you the capacity to be fruitful. It is your ontological character, not your functional character. You have it within you. Multiplication is hidden within you. Abundance is hidden within you. Grace is within you to grow, to multiply, to have things beyond your imagination. What's the problem? The problem is that you have allowed your thought to dampen your seed potential. Because the only thing that can fight against seed is seed. Okay? But the only thing that can redeem seed is seed. Watch this. So if a thought is also called a seed. A thought is also called a seed. So let's look at this. You are a seed. and your thought is a seed. What happens when your thought comes from the serpent? It's not an outward stuff. It's not the devil standing outside fighting against you. It's your thought. So if your thought gets poisoned, what happens? You become a problem. You who are the seed begin to get poisoned. And when you plant yourself, you don't grow very well because your thought is poisoning your being. The warfare is of the serpent and the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman is a warfare of thought and being. All right? So I'm going to be done now, okay? But to summarize, you are a seed. But you are a divine seed. Are you with me? And this divine seed is as the dust of the earth, which means it contains the elemental particle of the universe. Everything. Listen, you as a seed, the money you hold in your hand, everything that comes into your life as a seed has the potential of changing the world just because of who you are. Whether you have much or whether you have little, you've got, God, what you're holding in your hand contains the whole universe, has the potential of affecting, infecting, and transforming the whole universe. Your seed shall be as the stars of heaven. Clue. Your seed can survive any. Oh, God. Can survive any zodiac sign. That's what God was saying to Abraham. As the stars, so shall your seed be. The difference between a believer and an unbeliever is that the believer has become the seed of God. Therefore, they can traverse every zodiac sign and succeed in it. So you're not bound by the zodiac astrology that comes out in the morning and says, you have now the seed of God, which means that if it is Leo's time, you're a lion. If it is Naphtali's time, you're a wrestler. If it is Joseph's time, you're a fruitful bull. If it is, you get my point? Because all of that stuff is now embodied in you as the seed of God. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Nobody can bend the stars to hurt you. Now let me undo some things I said to you. There are seasons and time for everything. But when you walk in the Spirit, you can turn bad seasons into good seasons. You shall be as the stars of heaven. Number three. Because you are a seed of God, God has this thing about you where he hovers over you in a constant reflexive mode where he's putting himself in you constantly, hovering over you. That's why he says, he that touches you touches the apple of my eyes. Because touching you is like poking in God's eyes. Because the apple of the eye is where the reflection of the other person is. There's cultures where they call the pupil, where they call the reflection of the person in the pupil's eye, the seed in the person's eyes. You are too awesome to allow anything to get in your way. And whatever it is you're doing that seems so difficult, come back to who you are. There is seed, and God created seed-bearing trees. Seed is all you need. You don't need a tree. You see that little money you have in your hand? That stuff you're holding that you think is not enough? If your eyes were opened and you saw that this thing has the DNA of every potential in the universe, you will be a little bit more joyful. And when you are joyful, you water the seed. It's all on how you look at it. Are you okay? If I can take this and put it in a pill and put it in your mouth so you can swallow it and travel around with it and never allow anybody, including yourself, to tell you that you don't have enough. Or that you're not enough, or that you're, when you know what I'm talking about, when you know the seed principle, you don't operate from a position of lack, from a mentality of lack. You don't operate from because you could have a lot of money and still be poor as dirt, because you don't understand the seed principle. Oh, my brothers and sisters. How much God wants us to understand this seed principle. Do you realize that a seed can sit on a shelf for thousands of years? And the day it is brought out and put in the ground, it still grows. You're not dead. You can't die because, you are the seed of God. You cannot be messed up. The only thing that can mess you up is that serpent thought from up here, trying to inseminate the seed to change its DNA. Wow. God loves you too much. You have become the seed of God by entering into who Christ is. As Christ is incorruptible, so are you incorruptible. As Christ is immortal, so are you immortal. As Christ is beatified by God, so have you been beautified. As Christ's He is the ultimate seed. And every seed derives from his predecessor. Same nature never changes. Protected, covered by the same principle, the immunity of Christ works in you to protect your seed. You are too awesome, brothers and sisters. To allow yourself to be put down by people whose main purpose is ordinary. It's not over yet. As long as you know the seed, got your seed. Stand up on your feet. Brothers and sisters, when I came to understand this seed principle, I also understood that a seed doesn't struggle. A seed operates better when it's at rest. And when you are at rest, you walk in grace. It's not by power, not by might. Every seed. I feel goosebumps all over me. If you don't have money, you have a word. Are you getting the point? If you don't know what to say, you be the seed. If you don't have word, you have an act. Every seed is eternal in its nature. May your seed be as the dust of the earth. May your seed be as the stars of the heavens. May your seed be as the sand of the sea. I command that multiplication that is hidden inside of you to come forth. Even if it is not your season, I speak that every season from now on will be your season. Because the Bible says, you shall be as a tree planted by the waters. Whatever you do shall prosper. Whatever you do will prosper. Doesn't matter how small a seed is. It still contains the potential of the whole universe. Don't say you're small. Don't say you're small. Don't say you don't have. Don't say you. Stop it already. If you knew who you are, I don't know why this keeps ringing in my mind today. I command every negative thought that has been harassing you to be destroyed in its very roots in the name of Jesus. Every serpent thought that has been trying to infuse your seed with its negativity, it's destroyed right now in the name of Jesus. Because you are the seed of God, in Christ, you are already multiplying. In Christ, your abundance is already flowing. In Christ, you are immune to the attacks of the devil. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, now. Over you people right now. Jesus, joy for sorrow, gladness for sadness, beauty for ashes, joy for sorrow, gladness for sadness. This is my day. This is my day. Beautiful. I'm trading my joy for sorrow, gladness for sadness, yes, Lord. Lord bless you. You can put your offerings. Beautiful ashes. Receiving joy for sorrow. Gladness for sadness. This is my day. This is my day. It's your day. Sorry it would take so long, but it's just too awesome. Oh, garments of praise. There's food out there. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. If you need prayers, there'll be people up here praying for you. Next week, we begin to deal with emitting light, operating from your position in Christ, looking at the sun and the moon, and the things of the fourth day. If you're sick, come here, we'll pray for you. God will heal you. You're struggling with something, this is what the church is for. But before we do that, if you don't know who Jesus is, then everything I'm talking about is is fairy tale to you. But you need to say yes to him, because he won't turn you away. Once you say yes to him, a lot of stuff start making sense. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about spirituality. I'm talking about an intimate interaction with God. And it is in Christ that you as a seed become purified. The Bible says those that be planted in the courts of our God shall flourish. Hallelujah. So anybody here who says, I want to give my life to Jesus, I don't know if that's the right word, but I want to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and declare him to be Savior, that God raised him from the dead. I want to know that Christ who died for me. You can come forward and we'll pray with you, and your life will not be the same. Or you can see me after service and we'll do it still. Amen. Father, thank you. Send your people home in peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. You are free to stay in the sanctuary and worship and do whatever you need to do. The place is not closed. We are stopping this.